The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Alvin, Chris, yeah. James, the engineer hiding. Yeah. Today is Wednesday, the 1st yes. of December. Did you think we would finally get to December? I know, theoretically, every year we get to December, but this year I was having my doubts. I was really praying for the rapture.
Yeah, so was I. By the way, you didn't even mention I've got a different hat on today. That's because I'm a man of many hats, you see.
Well, I didn't mention it because it's a radio program and nobody believes you, Alvin. But unless they're watching it, why would they even think that you know, we're wearing clothes? It's radio.
Okay, but you got to tune in to Rumble or Frank's speech at 3 o'clock. You got to do it.
Okay, let's hit the highlights and then we'll move backwards. Okay, number one today. In our next segment, we're going to be talking to Alex Berenson. Some of you know that name. He's a big deal. He was a New York Times reporter for 10 years. And then, and this is kind of the larger narrative of the time in which we live in America, something happened and straight on reporting was no longer acceptable. So he has found himself kind of doing his own thing. He's been on Tucker Carlson quite a bit. He's got a new book out called Pandemia, where he's talking about what most people on this program know, that whatever is going on with this so-called pandemic, the powers that be, the government, they have overreached. They've used this as an opportunity that has really turned things upside down. And that's why we find ourselves in this very strange place. So in a couple of minutes, Alex Berenson, brand new book. It came out literally yesterday, Pandemia. We're going to be talking to him. We also will be talking to Kevin McCullough, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
remember
yeah.
Kevin McCullough? Definitely. But he's not going to be wearing his turban today. No. We got a lot of information to cover. We need to talk about the Roe v. Wade thing at the Supreme Court. We need to talk about Chris Cuomo leaving CNN indefinitely because he was caught doing something with Jeffrey Toobin. At least that's the report I'm getting on camera. We're going to be talking about that. But before we get into anything really substantive like that, I want to mention I'm going to be in San Diego this weekend preaching. It's the Balboa campus of Awaken Church. Evidently, I've been moved to the Balboa campus. It's their big campus. I'm preaching 3 services on Sunday. And I hope I will have my nasal issues cleaned up by then.
Yes. I know. There's something going on with your nose, I think.
No, people can tell that I'm still stuffy or whatever because I'm recovering from various things. But I want to say I'll be in San Diego. I'm going to be in Billings, Montana next Tuesday night speaking at an event. So I want to mention that. And I also want to mention before we get into the news of the day, because we've got time today. We rarely have time, but we have time to get into the news of the day just amongst ourselves and then later on with Kevin McCullough. But before we get into that, I want to remind folks of 2 things. We're doing a fundraiser for CSI. You know that CSI, Christian Solidarity International, we partner with them just about every year now because they're doing God's amazing work. And I think that when things are really dark, when things are really difficult, when things are really confusing, God always tells us, do the next thing. In other words, rather than getting your eyes on what's in front of you and just focus on me and do something good that you know is good, right? Pack lunch for your kid or for your spouse. Do anything that's good. Well, CSI, they are literally freeing slaves in Sudan who you know, we find it hard to believe that this can be real, but we need to face it. There's real evil in the world and we can do something about it. So we want you to go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, and give to CSI. This is the time of year when, you know, you do have to think about those that are less fortunate. And I cannot imagine, even in a country like America, where there are people struggling with all kinds of stuff, I can't imagine what it would be to live in a place where there's actual slavery, where people are being enslaved because of their Christian faith by radical Muslims, Fulani tribesmen, who literally believe that this is okay, right? We live in a world where everybody knows it's wrong. They live in a world where they say, no, this is the way it's been since the beginning of time. And we can do something about it. So I just want to encourage you, please go to MetaxasTalk.com and give what you can. We'll tell you more about that. Kevin McCullough has some details on that. I also want to say, if you go to MyPillow.com or MyStore.com and use the code ERIC, you can buy. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can pretty much get all of my books at MyStore.com. Did you guys know that? Have I ever mentioned that on this program?
I think you mentioned it once or twice. You could definitely get Is Atheism Dead? Is that correct?
Wrong. You got exactly wrong. You can get everything but Is Atheism Dead? But Is Atheism Dead is my new book, and you can get that anywhere else. You just can't get it at mystore.com. But
you could get one of your other 50 books at.
Right. And you can get the Bonhoeffer poster. So anyway, I just want to say those things. But let's talk substance just amongst us chickens here before we get into it with Alex Berenson, before we get into it with Kevin McCullough, just you, Chris, and Albin. Today is a big day in America because the Supreme Court, I believe now, while we're taping this, is hearing the oral arguments in a Mississippi case that could end up being what overturns Roe v. Wade. And I just want to be on the record and say there's a lot of false information out there, okay? When people who are pro-abortion say that overturning Roe v. Wade will be some dramatic horror, I just want to say to those people, there are plenty states in America where if Roe v. Wade went away yesterday, you can still get your late-term abortion. So you're hearing a lot of fear-mongering from people who act as though, you know, we're going to go back to the 1820s. And I just want to be clear that even if Roe v. Wade ends up being overturned, in the scheme of things, it's nothing. We're still going to have plenty abortion in America. The only thing that will change is that we are not going to have a preposterous federal law that says every person in America is somehow entitled by the Constitution to an abortion, which is ridiculous. Even if you are pro-abortion, the idea that our Constitution somehow guarantees abortion into the last months, it is preposterous. It's bad law. And on this program, I always just want to be clear about what we're dealing with. So abortion doesn't get wiped out if the Supreme Court undoes Roe v. Wade. So this is a lot of fear-mongering you're hearing on the other side, and you're going to get a lot of, we're just going to have a lot of that. You're going to have a lot of people freaking out. And I just want to say, I don't even know what you're freaking out about, because abortion will still be legal in America, unfortunately.
Right. In some states, it'll be legal. In some states, it'll be illegal. You know how they talk about carrying firearms across state lines? Well, this will be, you would be carrying your unborn child across state lines, you know, for an abortion.
Was there a joke in there? Let's backtrack.
It's not a joke. It's a sad fact.
Well, no, but I mean, the fact is, yes, you'll be able to get on a bus or get in a car and drive someplace and have a late-term abortion. So I just want to be clear, because people never talk about this. At least I find that let's be realistic here, folks. Before 1973, there were plenty states in the union, like New York, where I live, where you could get a late-term abortion legally. So to go back before Roe v. Wade, it's not going to change that much. So when people, I mean, first of all, I think it's fantastic nonetheless, because it sends a signal and it's very, very important. I think it has spiritual significance. But I just want to be clear about that when you hear people talk as though we're setting back the clock, I wish we were setting back the clock. but we're not going to be setting back the clock. We're effectively going to be going back to the status quo, which was evil in 1973. So I just want to be clear about that. Before we go to Alex Berenson, just to end on a semi-positive, I want to say that my book, Is Atheism Dead?, is selling really well. I thank God for that. I was just on the Huckabee program this morning. That's going to air this weekend. But I just want to say I this morning was amazed. It's just selling really well. People are getting the idea. We'll be right back with Alex Berenson, formerly of the New York Times. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
When you were young and your heart was an open book.
Hey there, folks. I have the privilege of speaking with Alex Berenson. Some of you know him, some of you don't. I think that covers everybody. He is not so difficult to sum up. He's a journalist. He has written a book called Pandemia, How Coronavirus Hysteria Took Over Our Government Rights and Lives. Alex, you were a reporter for the New York Times for quite a while. Are you no longer with the Times?
I'm no longer with the Times. You know, as we sort of said to each other, we're both class traitors, I think. You know, I went to Yale. I worked for the Times for 10 years. I left in 2010. I became a novelist. I wrote a series of spy novels that did pretty well. But in the last few years, I've gotten pulled back into journalism, mainly because I feel there are huge stories out there that the my old friends at the Times and elsewhere are just either covering terribly or not covering at all.
But what's a little cowardice among journalists? So listen, you have bravely been covering what's going on out there. And for folks like me, it's a very difficult thing to get one's head around the idea that things we took for granted, even though they were flawed, institutions like the New York Times and the so-called mainstream media, that they would get the basics, just like the military basically would defend the country. There might be scandals, but basically they understood what their job was. That has gone away, and the coronavirus madness has exacerbated that and accelerated that. And you've been covering that. A lot of us have seen you on Tucker Carlson. What is in the book Pandemia for folks who are utterly unaware of you and what you've been doing?
I mean, I think that's a really good way you put it. You know, you expected that the military, you know, can defend the country. Maybe they spend too much on a plane or whatever, but they can do their job. When I worked at the Times, I was there, not for a cup of coffee, for 10 years. I believed our job was to report the facts. You know, and of course, every human being has bias, and there's going to be bias in story selection and stuff. But that my job was to get to the facts of a particular story as best I could. And I do think that that's gone. And in writing Pandemia, it's only been 2 years, but to see mistake after mistake that the public health authorities and governments made, and the way that the reporters didn't just, not question what was going on, but really abetted what was going on. I mean, those are some of the themes in the book. I think people have sort of lived through this. We've all lived through this maelstrom in the last 2 years. But when you step back and you see how, for example, school closures. I've talked a lot about school closures, and I talk about them in the book. They were a terrible idea. Okay, and it was clear almost from the beginning that they were a terrible idea. I am on record on Twitter before Twitter banned me saying they're a terrible idea in April and May, not of this year, in April and May of 2020. Okay, so that happened. And we all sort of agree that school closures now took a year of schooling away from kids, did nothing for them. Zoom schooling is terrible. And yet the media basically doesn't acknowledge its own role in that, doesn't acknowledge the public health authorities gave terrible advice, doesn't really question how this happened, has just moved on to the next orders given by whether it's, you know, the Biden administration or Fauci. They are all cheerleaders. And that, to me, is one of the central lessons in the book, is that you can't trust, you know, even after a mistake has been made and it's obvious, you can't trust these people to go back and acknowledge that at all.
Okay, well, what happened? I've written a book on Germany in the 30s and trying to understand what happened there. Now, if you're a racist German hater, it's very simple. They're uniquely evil, and we don't even have to worry about that. But if you have what I call a biblical view of reality, you realize we are all messed up, and we're all susceptible to certain kinds of mistakes and sins, and sometimes history has a field day with that, as we saw in Germany in the 30s. What I see happening now is at least similar. In other words, it's an unprecedented level of people covering their rear ends, looking the other way, afraid of losing cultural capital. In other words, doing whatever it takes, short of saying, Heil Hitler, which Jew do you want me to kill today? In other words, we're not there, but it's the same kind of dynamic where you need everyone to do his job, but most people are just thinking, I don't want to lose my job, I don't want to lose credibility. And so it falls to just the tiniest handful of people like you to do what was once considered basic 5 minutes ago. That's my summation of it. What do you think?
I mean, I think that's very true. Look, I think in the United States, there clearly was a recognition in the media that the pandemic was terrible for Trump, that he'd mishandled it, that his, you know, he's clearly not the most empathetic guy in the world, and that did not serve him well in this setting. But you're right. That doesn't explain why the rest of the world did exactly the same thing, why it shut down exactly the same way. And I think there was a lot of fear very early on. There was fear based on, you know, some of the videos that came out of China, some of the data. In the data, you know, I think we now know we can't trust the data from China at all. But nonetheless, that set government policy and public health policy. And really only Sweden stood up, you know, in Europe and said, no, this shouldn't happen. We're going to take a less restrictive approach. And in the U.S., there were a few southern states, a few red states that stood up. Their governors faced tremendous blowback. I mean, I think Ron DeSantis, you know, if I could write another book kind of just about him and like how he played this, because I think he's a genuine hero in this. Even if you think he was wrong on certain details, just having the stones to stand up to the media and what he was getting from the public health establishment, I think, he's somebody who was courageous and believed he understood what was going on and was going to stand for that. But as you say, there are very, very few people in the media, in politics, or in science, unfortunately, who are willing to do that.
So are you, because I haven't really followed your career, have you been vilified as somebody who is now what, a conservative? I mean,
yes.
How are you treated today? Because if somebody said to you, who are you 15 years ago, or what do your friends think of you 15 years ago, would they have described you as, you know, particularly conservative or particularly anti-establishment? What do they say now?
A little bit anti-establishment, even though I worked for the Times, which was obviously an establishment place. Most of my reporting was, if you had to classify it, you'd say it was sort of corporate investigative reporting. It was anti-corporate. It was, you know, here's what this company did that they don't want to tell you about. And so now, no, I think, I mean, I've lost a lot of friends. I mean, I have very few friends left from my days at the Times. They think, yeah, they call me a conservative. They think I'm a conspiracy theorist. What's interesting to me is I have lots and lots of quiet support in the scientific and medical communities. There are a lot of those people who reach out to me. They read what I've written. They read my Substack. They're going to read Pandemia. They reach out to me. In the media, they don't read me. They just smear me. And so it's really, it's upsetting to me because I, not only am I friends, I stood and believed in the New York Times. I put my life on the line to be a reporter in Iraq for the New York Times. And now, you know, my joke is, it's not just that the ship has sailed, it's that it's been shot into space. You know, I will not be working for the New York Times again.
Right. Well, you know, there are worse things. Let me just say, Alex, that it's good to know that there are folks like you out there. I'm sorry that there's so few of you. But the book is brand new. It's called Pandemia, How Coronavirus Hysteria Took Over Our Government Rights and Lives. Clearly, we've just got a minute or so left, so I hope we can get you back to continue the conversation. But clearly, to me, there's a kind of a cultural Marxist element here. In other words, there's something that has infected American life. It was there, but it never took root in the way that it has in the last couple of years. That's what's frightening to me, that the fundamentals about freedom, about who we are as a people, those things have been shoved away.
I mean, I agree. And what's happening with big tech and with censorship of technology, unfortunately, it seems to be getting worse, not better. You know, if you believe, I mean, Jack Dorsey and Twitter, you know, I think Dorsey actually believed in free speech at one point, and now he's leaving Twitter. And I think Twitter is going to become more suppressive in just the way that YouTube and Facebook are. And I think that's a very dangerous thing for all of us. Whatever your politics, you should want speech. Speech is one of the foundations of the United States, free speech.
But let's face it, even to understand what that means, you have to have some semblance of an understanding of truth. Is there such a thing as truth? If you don't believe that, what is free speech? It's all about power. It's all about, you know, critical theory. And that's kind of where we are right now. And it's why we find ourselves having this conversation. I'm sorry you have to go, but it's a joy at least to be introduced to you. I hope we can continue the conversation. I can't think of anything much more important to talk about. So, Alex Berenson, thanks for Pandemia, and thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Let's do it again. We gave away. Oh,
this old world keeps spinning around. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Songs you hear on the rock and roll radio.
How about that, Alex Berenson? Pretty good, huh?
Oh yeah.
It was good. Short though. We have to get him back. We have to get him back. Now, hour two today, we're talking to our buddy Kevin McCullough. I don't know if we can get him in for hour one, but we've got so much stuff to communicate now that we might as well just let's just try to communicate it. First of all, I have to say, really heartbreaking. Really heartbreaking. I heard yesterday, I was shocked that Marcus Lamb has passed away. A lot of people listening wouldn't know who he is, but he was someone, he and his wife, Joni Lamb, run Daystar TV. I've been on their programs many times. They're in the Dallas area. He was relatively young. I really was amazed to hear that at age 64, he passed away from COVID. I guess he had diabetic issues, but just heartbreaking. So if you know who that is,
you share my grief and the grief of the Lamb family. Just had to mention that. Absolutely amazing to hear that tough news. But let's be positive for a second. We're supposed to believe, if you're any kind of a Christian, you believe Jesus defeated death. And I always want to say this because I think I was just reading yesterday where the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, he asks Lazarus's sisters, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." And then he says to them, "Do you believe this?" And I thought, that is this Sunday when I preach in San Diego, I'm going to use that as my text, because that's the question. Life is hard. There's death all around us. That do we believe that Jesus defeated death? Do we believe that if we believe in him, we will never die? That's really the only question that matters in life, if you really think about it. And when I read that, it just pierced my heart when I read that line where Jesus is asking his sweet friends, Mary and Martha, "Do you believe this?" Anyway, it got me choked up. And so I want to say that when you hear about somebody like Marcus Lamb passing at age 64, on the one hand, it's heartbreaking and it's shocking. On the other hand, you say, wait a minute, we're those of us who believe in the God of the Bible, we believe that Jesus actually defeated death. It's not a metaphor. It's not a nice idea. And I think we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe it? Or do we say we believe it? Or do we hope we believe it? We need to believe it. And I think that I've been doing all these interviews around the new book, Is Atheism Dead? This morning I was on with Governor Huckabee. And I think this is ultimately the question. Do you believe that the Bible is true? Do you believe God is real? You have to really, I think that when things aren't tough, we are all able to kind of kick the can down the road on whether we really, really, really believe these things. But when things get tough, when you're facing death, when you're facing utter chaos, as we are in the United States and on every level, you're forced to think, do I really believe this? And I want to encourage people that it's not an issue of whether you believe it. The issue is, it is true. So then the question is, do you know it's true? So I didn't mean to go there, but just when I think about Joni Lamb losing Marcus at such a young age, I mean, the older you get, the more you realize, like 64, that's not the age you're supposed to die. What's going on there? Yeah. So I just thought I wanted to mention that. They're just the sweetest people, privileged to know them.
I was going to segue. You mentioned truth, preaching on truth. Do you believe? I know we're not really a news show. We're sort of a hybrid, but we don't often do news retractions. And I wanted to bring up a totally unrelated off-topic news retraction. We got a listener email from Atina, whose last name I won't mention, but she wanted to know about, I guess I wasn't on the show, but you mentioned that I was off on a bike trip in Lake County.
Oh, I was left all alone. This is, I don't know, a month ago. What was this? I was left all alone. You were gone. Albin was gone. You know, usually if Albin has to go, you can fill in. I was all alone. And so I made up I guess you could call it a lie, a white lie, a fib. Yeah. And I said that the two of you were taking you were on a tandem bicycle going through the Lake District or the Cotswolds or something.
Oh, that's right.
You were on a special bike tour, just the two of you working on your relationship.
Now, be clear, the Lake District, that's United Kingdom. Is that?
Not yeah, England, correct? Of course. Yeah, England. Of course. Yeah. Were you going to take a bike trip around Massachusetts? No. You want to go to England. Yeah.
I was actually in New Jersey doing no such thing at the time, I believe. So we need to retract that, because that wasn't true.
Yeah, okay, because I had made the sardine sandwiches or something that they like over there for the trip.
I think you mentioned I had a parasol or something in the basket. Maybe not.
I don't remember anything. Anyway, I guess this is our confused way of telling people that we actually got a letter from a woman who believed my silly story and who really did think that the two of you were on a bike journey together working on your relationship in the Lake District in England. And yeah, I said something that Albin had packed a picnic lunch, and there were scones and clotted cream, and it was really beautiful and stuff. And of course, I was joking, but we have people who write us letters. And some of these people, they're either not listening carefully or they don't know my sense of humor. So they really believed that the two of you, a couple of married men,
on a tandem bike.
That's the key too. Tandem bike. So you're telling me we got a letter. Do you want to read the letter? I mean, I don't know.
Well, we don't need to read it. I just want to say that I felt bad about it, and then I sent her some actual bike recommendations.
Right. We're gonna be right back to continue the inanity. We have real substance. Don't go away.
Hey, folks! All you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have box stores or any shopping channels. They've been part of this canceled culture, and they want to pass the savings on directly to you so you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for the classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with promo code Eric. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, now $24.98 with promo code Eric, or king size, regularly $89.98, only $29.98 with promo code Eric. MyPillow is not just pillows. They've got over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers and dog beds, you name it. My promo code Eric also works on mystore.com. You can get my books, and frankspeech.com. Go to mypillow.com or call 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code Eric to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's mypillow.com, promo code Eric, or 1-800-978-3057.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. In hour two, we're talking to our friend Kevin McCullough. Right now, we're talking about all kinds of stuff just amongst ourselves. Number one, we want to reiterate our sadness at the passing of Marcus Lamb, who was the head of Daystar TV. Sad news, but at the same time, I want to reiterate that we believe that Jesus defeated death on the cross. Now, if you don't believe that, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want, but I'm here to tell you it's real, and why not believe it? So, because it is real. But I also want to say that we had the privilege yesterday in the studio of interviewing Kathy Lee Gifford. She has a new book out. I've known her for many years. It was a very moving, beautiful interview, and we're going to air that tomorrow, Albin.
Yeah. We're going to air it tomorrow. And by the way, folks, it's 2 hours. It's so great. She talks about the dust up that she had with Howard Stern. Actually, he had a problem with her. She didn't have a problem with him. And when he finally came and apologized to her in tears, you have got to hear that.
It's an amazing, beautiful story. It's the kind of thing you'd make up, except it's real. And she tells the story. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. So that's tomorrow on this program. I also don't want to forget to mention that we're doing a fundraiser with Christian Solidarity International. Now, folks, we always think, how can we sweeten the pot? We know that you don't give to get, but we want to encourage you. There are people, all kinds of people out there with disposable income, and you're thinking, hey, what am I going to do for Christmas? Well, can I give you an idea? Guys, you ready for this?
Yeah.
When I was with President Trump a few months ago with Sean Foyt, President Trump gave us a couple of these Make America Great Again hats. Okay. Now these were touched by his hands. Okay.
I've never seen that before. I only have
two of them left. Okay. So Donald Trump gave these to me. Okay. He did not sign them. Okay, he signed a couple of hats and then he had to move on with his life. He's pretty busy. But he gave me these hats, and he also gave me the pen that he used to sign the other hats. So he has used this pen, this special, it says this is his, you know, special Donald Trump signature pen. So we have these hats. We have the pen. Okay, now I can't forge his signature. Actually, of course I could, but I won't. But what I want to say to people, if you want a crazy special gift for Christmas, you're not going to be able to get this anywhere else. Okay. If you give $2,500 to CSI, okay. Now, as you know, $250, if you go to the banner at metaxastalk.com, that frees a slave in the Sudan, sets them up in a life. It's more than just buying them out of slavery. In fact, we don't buy them out of slavery. CSI has a kind of complicated way they're able to do this, so it doesn't encourage the slavers, okay, that they're going to make money this way. It's complicated. They give them the vaccine for their cattle because that's something that a lot of these Fulani tribesmen in Africa need. So the bottom line is, when you give $250, you're able to free a slave. It's an amazing thing. So if you do that in somebody's name for Christmas, I want to tell you right now, that's a beautiful thing. And in the dark times in which we're living right now, to do a beautiful thing like that with a with an organization as reputable as it gets, CSI, metaxastalk.com, go to the banner. That's an amazing Christmas gift to give somebody. But I want to say that we have literally two of these hats, and I will sign with this pen. I will write, you know, Merry Christmas or God bless you, Eric Metaxas, with the Trump pen, okay, on two of these hats. If there's anybody out there who wants to give $2,500, you are freeing 10 slaves. Can you get this through your head, folks, that this is not a metaphor? This is real, that CSI has boots on the ground, relationships in that part of the world. They're able to really do this.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
a lot of times we say, what can I do? This is so huge. You can do this.
Yeah. Can I tap in here? That's the first two people that give $2,500 because there are only two hats. So you have to be the first two. You can also call a number. If you're not online, you can call a number, 888-253-3522. Call it right now with $2,500. The first two people get the hat signed by Eric with Donald, the President Donald Trump's pen on President Trump's MAGA hat. Two people.
Right.
Away.
Yeah. I mean, I've only got the two. These are, I can buy these hats, but these are the hats that President Trump gave to me when I was at the Bedminster Country Club with our friend Sean Foyt, and we videotaped the president. The president gave me these two hats. So these are from his hand to my hands to your hands. He also let me keep the pen that he used to sign the other hats. So I will sign these hats. I will sign my own name just to keep things legal. But I really want to say, folks, that this is an amazing opportunity to be able to do something super positive, super positive. There are people in Sudan whose lives depend on us. And you can do that. So go to metaxastalk.com. Alvin, do you want to read the number again? I'm sorry.
Yeah. The number is 888-253-3522. You know, it's a big topic in this country about slavery. That was 150 years ago here in this country. It was abolished, but it's still going on today. So if you really want to do something, really,
if you really
not
care,
just signal.
If you're into the Black Lives Matter movement, this is like, hey, this is reality. This is not just Marxist fake talk. This is reality. So we want you to go to CSI, go to the banner, metaxastalk.com. Honestly, I want to say it again. This is an outrageous Christmas gift to give somebody. You say, what can I give so-and-so? They don't need anything. If you tell them that I've given $250 and we have freed a slave in your name and we've set them up in a life, I mean, folks, if you think about this, you get very choked up. This is real. Yeah. So I want to encourage you to do something really beautiful. And I want to say it again, that we have literally two hats given to me by the president. I have the pen given to me by the president, and I will sign these two hats, $2,500. If you give you're freeing 10 people, which is infinitely more significant than anything else. Plus you'll get, but you'll get these hats. Okay. We're going to be right back. Lots more to cover. We'll have Kevin McCullough coming up any minute. Don't go away. Wow. What's going on?
Yeah, man.
Can you guys see behind me? That's Mike Lindell. That's not really Mike Lindell.
It's no, he's behind me. That's the real Mike Lindell behind me.
It's since we've been knocked off of YouTube, nobody can see us anyway. Yeah. TV every day.
Hey, Eric, I was just going to mention something. I was sorry to cut you off. In the last segment, you mentioned we're living in dark times. I took my kid to the Macy's Meet Santa thing here in the city, Herald Square. I didn't read the fine print, but apparently it's sponsored by Pfizer this year. And the Santa at the end, he vaccinated my child against his will. It was very surprising. Pulled out a shot.
Wow. That's pretty dark stuff.
Instead of a lollipop, right? He gets a vaccine.
Yeah, so just make sure to avoid any Pfizer Meet Santa events in your town near you because...
You know, by the way, that somebody stole my great idea. You know the Johnny Pape check song? You can take this job and shove it. I ain't a working here no more. You know that song.
Sure.
I came up with the idea of you can take this jab and shove it. Somebody actually recorded that song.
That's great.
Well, you know,
don't
sometimes
sound too excited.
The good ideas are out there in the ether, you know. It's just
But it just kind of cracked me up because I thought, you know, it's okay, listen,
the comedy's on our side of the aisle. You know, the conservatives are out there.
Correct.
Fun.
Okay, let me just say this before we run out of time here, folks. To sum up, we're going through dark times, but I believe that God wants us to do good things in the midst of the darkness, light a candle instead of cursing the darkness. We every year do a fundraiser with CSI. There are people being enslaved in the Sudan, people who have been enslaved. I'm going to go into the details. Kevin McCullough and I will get into the details in the next hour, but we can do something about it. And I keep thinking when you think of somebody that you think, what do I get them for Christmas? For $250. Now, by the way, we want to encourage everybody to give something. But for $250, if that's a number that you can give, you can free a slave. And you don't just free a slave. You are actually setting them up in a life. They get a goat. They get foodstuffs. They get all kinds of stuff so that they can have a life once they are redeemed from slavery. So this is a huge thing. You can do it in somebody's name. And I want to encourage you folks. When I think of all the junk that we waste our money on, this is something really beautiful. It's just hard to believe that we have the privilege in our lifetimes of participating in something like this. So if you want to give somebody an amazing gift, go to metaxastalk.com, click on the banner. Whatever you give is fantastic, but if you can give $250, that enables CSI to get someone out of literal slavery and set them up in a wonderful life. It's an amazing thing. And I think that, as I say, we always ask, what can I do? What can I do? Any positive thing like this is spiritual warfare. That you are waging war against the evil in this world when you do something beautiful. Out of the goodness of your heart, do that. I also want to say, while supplies last, Albin, there are two.
Yes.
I have two hats given to me by President Donald Trump. They're the, you know, the standard Make America Great Again hats. They were given to me by the president. So I didn't buy these. They were given to me when I was with him and Sean Foyt some months ago. He also gave me the pen that he used to sign the other hats. Anybody who can give $2,500 that frees 10 slaves. If you can do that, I will sign one of these hats to you. There are only two of them. So obviously the first two people who do this, but go to metaxastalk.com, email us if you need more information. This is important stuff, very important stuff. I want to encourage everybody, please get involved in this, get your kids involved in this. Go to metaxastalk.com. Thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.